This is how I know Doug's busy. He walks into the studio and says, beg for callers. So 866-391-1020. He'd love to talk to you about gardening. Lots to get to. And I got to tell you, one of the exciting things is, and I talked to Mike and Patty Janoski, because of the heat, actually something good came from it. Summer sweet corn in abundance at Janoski's because of the weather. So hot weather does pay dividends. You just have to take time and look for the, well, rainbow. All right. In the meantime, I want to remind all of you, we like to kick this show off by giving you an opportunity to win a gift certificate from that other great sponsor, Wexford, Exit, Sorgles. 10th caller wins it, 412-922-1020. But if you have any gardening questions, Doug is going to take your calls up until 8 o'clock today as we are underway with another edition of the Organic Gardener. DougOster.com. Good morning, Doug.
I'm begging you to call.
Please call.
You were talking about JFK being the first president going to Ireland a few years later in 67.
Right.
Jackie Kennedy almost drowned in Ireland.
Really?
Yeah, I went for a swim in the ocean, almost drowned. I was in Ireland and walking around a garden with a guy, tour manager, and I looked at this little plaque they had by this tree. And Jackie Kennedy had come there to, you know, do one of those tree planting things. He had never seen it before, even though he had given tours in that garden for years. And then I started looking up her, you know, when she came there and what she did. And yeah, I went for a swim and in the cold water and almost drowned. So when I saw you post that, because I didn't know JFK was the first president to go to Ireland. When I saw you post that, that's what I thought of.
Well, thank you. But yeah, I'm glad that it turned out okay. I'll be honest with you. I love the ocean, but you wouldn't catch me swimming. But I know a lot of people that like to do that. That's not my cup of tea.
Dun-dun.
No, can I tell you something? It's just, you know how you realize you're insignificant when you're on a cruise ship? And many, many years ago when I took a vacation in another life, I think it was like 07, I went on that Disneyland Sea thing.
1807.
And, yeah, 1807, more like it. When you're out there, and it'll be the last vacation I ever take, when I was out there on that beautiful ocean late at night on the balcony as the family was sound asleep, I realized how insignificant we really are. That's a vast body of water, is it not?
Yeah, it's big, big,
it's big,
big. Yeah.
It's big, as they say.
You can see it to the left, see it to the right. That's all
I
you
mean,
see is water.
It's just, and it was a moonlit night, stars. It was absolutely picturesque. But you realize how we are also insignificant. Even though we make contributions, in the end, we are insignificant. All right, so if you have a question for Doug, give us a call, 866-391-1020. One thing I know, the grass has been growing, the weeds are growing, so there's a lot of things growing, including what's growing in the garden? I guess good for sweet corn, huh?
I saw that from Janoski's.
They went crazy.
And I was like, oh, sweet corn already. Well, you know, it's supposed to be knee high by July 4th. But that's one of the things of summer, man, is sweet corn. I wonder if anybody's growing sweet corn, because it's a tough crop for like a gardener to grow. It takes up a lot of space. You have to do it in like a block, because it's wind pollinated, so you got to have a, you know, 8x8, 4x4. That's why you see it in just, you know, big fields. The only way to get corn is that the wind blows the pollen from one plant to another. But they say as a gardener, when you're growing corn, that you have the water boiling when you pick your corn, because as soon as you pick your corn, and that's why you want it fresh, the sugars start turning to starch the second that you pull it off the plant. So that's why you have to go to that farm the day they're picking. And that's what they do every day they're picking. You know, Rob, you talked about sorghums. I was up there and I just want to put another mention about peppers. Braden, who's in I think his second season up there, is a pepper fanatic. And I found the most incredible, weird, cool peppers. They're still there, even at this point of the season. And so you know that I'm doing the super hot thing. I did this story 2 weeks ago for the video in Doug's garden, and it's called a Shim Garden, South Hills Interfaith Movement. And they grow food for the hungry, but they also help immigrants. And that's one group is from Nepal. And they love super hot peppers. So I thought, well, you know, I know where I can get super hot peppers, and maybe it's something they never had before. And so listen to the names of some of these peppers that I got. Goat brains is one, 1.3 million Scovilles. Tom's giant peach scorpion lemon pepper. The other one, Ragnarok. These are all super hots, but the one I found up there that I'd never seen any other nursery have is called Habananda. And Habananda is a habanero pepper with no heat.
How's so, that possible?
I don't know. But actually, it was. I did read a little bit about it yesterday. It was bred at Cornell University by a guy who wanted people to be able to enjoy that smoky flavor of the habanero pepper
without the burn,
without the pain.
Yeah.
And the first year we had him, my son, I have indoctrinated him since he was about 3 years old into the hot pepper world, and he can eat hot peppers like anything. The first year I grew him, I gave him one. I'm like, you try it first. And he ate it, and he was waiting for the pain because the flavor was, it was exactly like a habanero, but no pain. And it's more than just super hot peppers that he has. He's got some barely hot. If you see a zero on there, that means no heat. From zero up to 1.2 or 1.3 million Scovilles. But just a wide variety, and it's not too late to plant. We're right at the end of tomato planting season. If you haven't planted tomatoes, or let's say you have some space and you want to grow something else, throw in something that puts fruit on quick. 4th of July, Early Girls, Sun Gold, another cherry. You can stick that in the ground right now, and those tomato plants and those pepper plants will love this heat. And besides that little patch of insane heat and humidity, we've had enough rain to keep all these plants going. And, you know, you see the sweet corn already being able to be picked. And in my case, I've already picked a tomato. There's still time to plant. I've still got lots of containers to fill up. And we're going into bargain season. July 4th marks the start of bargain season, and even some other places I see have been selling their stuff cheap. You might be able to find some bargains, and you know me, nothing better to me than a garden bargain. And like I said, I still have to fill up containers. This is how my garden season always goes. Yes, I've got lots of stuff planted. Oh, the lilies. You know, I'm just enjoying the lilies. I'm enjoying everything that's growing out there. The hydrangeas are blooming. But I still have more work to do, and I will keep planting until everything's filled up. Surprisingly, this one pea plant that I grow called Shiraz Purple Pea, and peas hate hot weather. It went through that period there of those high mid-90s and humid, and this still has peas, still putting peas on. Now, it won't be for much longer. It's got to be the end, but this pea, just it continues to produce longer and longer into the season. A couple other things I need to move around here. I've got some compost surprise tomatoes, volunteers, and I still have some room where I can put them in. I've got a couple early tomatoes, actually two plants. They're Red Racer is the variety, and it's an All-America selection. Whenever it came out, maybe 3, 4, or 5 years ago, they sent me one. Like, they sent me a plant, a little itty-bitty plant, on like July 15th, and I stuck it in, and I got tomatoes by the end of the season. These are in my greenhouse, the last two plants left, and I'm planting them specifically for this late planting, and they've already have tomatoes on them. I'm going to stick them in the ground. I'm going to move these volunteers when the time is right, get them into place, and that will just perpetuate this tomato season all the way until the end of the year. And I've been getting lots of emails with little problems. And people are really reacting to the little problems like big problems. Part of gardening is not worrying so much, is figuring out the problem and dealing with it. We all have the same gardening problems. It's just how we deal with it. In my case, of course, I'm dealing with it using organic products. But whatever's happening in the garden, take your time, figure it out, and then treat the problem.
All right, good stuff, Doug. Doug would like to talk to you about gardening. We've got one person in the queue, and we're going to talk to Melissa Allison Park just a moment about green beans. But if you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. Now's the time to call 866-391-1020. Your Pratt Pack. It is a Sunday edition of the Organic Gardener. Doug Oster, DougOster.com. Your call is next. All right, here's how it works. You're sitting with that second cup of coffee, or maybe your first. You got the newspaper out in front, and you're listening to us, and you're looking out the window in the kitchen thinking, my garden, what can I do? There's more weeds and things growing. You need help. Call us, 866-391-1020. Whatever you'd like to discuss, it's wide open conversation, especially how do you beat the heat and save some of these plants, and what plants actually thrive, like sweet corn in the heat. Call us, 866-391-1020. Melissa Allison Park up first for Doug Oster, DougOster.com. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I'm going to agree with Doug for a quick minute here. I used to work with a young gentleman who was born in Nepal and fled to Bhutan because of religious problems. He loved hot things. And he let me taste something that his wife had made, and it had a tiny little, my God, that was 8 years ago, and my mouth is still on fire. He says, oh, when my wife is cooking, she's throwing these in her mouth all the time. I'm going, oh, my God, they are so hot. Anyway, they do love hot things. He says, I can give you one of these plants. I said, no. It'll go bad. My problem right now, my garden is going whole honkers. I'm sitting here, I'm looking out the window and going, oh my God, my tomatoes got huge. But it's my green beans. I used to raise cabbage, and I would have to spray them all the time for the cabbage moths that would come around and chew on them. Well, my green beans, all of the foliage on them, I have like something sat and chewed on them. Do I have to spray my cabbage moth spray on my green beans?
No, it's probably something else, and we need to figure out what that something else is. One possibility is slugs, which can confound you because you don't see them feed. They feed at night.
Okay.
The other thing it possibly could be is Mexican bean beetles, but you would see them. You have to go out and look at the plant, turn the leaves over, take a look at what you're seeing there. If you're not seeing any pest on the actual plant, it's probably slugs. With this wet weather, and slugs love beans, that would be my guess. The Mexican bean beetle right now is probably still in the larval state, which is this kind of yellow fuzzy thing, and it's unmistakable when you see it in the garden. And so in the case of slugs, if you do determine it's slugs, and you'll see like kind of a silvery trail on the leaves, and that mm-hmm. will indicate slugs. There's a product called Sluggo, which is organic. It's an organic pellet that the slug would eat. The other thing that we use is actually something I gave to the Nepalese garden, was the stuff called diatomaceous earth. And these are organic products, and the diatomaceous earth is like a powder. But on the microscopic level, it's razor sharp. In fact, when you do apply diatomaceous earth, and you would find it in any good nursery, mm-hmm. you have to wear a mask because you don't want to breathe it in because it will irritate your nasal passages. It's not a poison, but again, that sharpness on the microscopic level, and if you have to apply it after every rain, which in this case means every day.
It's three times a day.
Yeah. So that's another way. Slugs just don't like to crawl on something that's rough. You know, sometimes people will put rough contractor sand underneath there. But that Sluggo stuff is easy to find. That works well, too. But figure it out. If it's Mexican bean beetle, the other thing that we spray for anything that's chewing, like a larval little thing like that, or a cabbage worm would be one, is this stuff called Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. And once the chewing insect ingests it, then they'll be done for. But it's a safe way to use a product where you're not going to hurt the good bugs, you're not going to hurt yourself or anybody who lives downstream. So that would be my guess. I'm guessing slugs, especially if you don't see any actual pest on the plant. My guess is slugs in this wet, warm weather. This is the perfect storm for slugs.
Okay, I thank you very much for your help here, hopefully.
Good luck.
They don't get to my beans.
I hope not.
All right, here's what you need to do. This is Wide Open Gardening Talk, so let's get in bloom and get going. So call us, 866-391-1020. All of our lines are open but one. We've got Diane. She's on KDK. Good morning, Di.
Good morning, guys. Doug, I have an apple tree that bloomed beautifully in the spring, and now, like, I've got maybe golf ball size apples on it. Is it too late to spray it?
Well, it depends on what you're spraying for. People will spray them for fungal issues. If you haven't started your spraying for the fungal issues, it's probably too late. Has it started to drop leaves? Have you seen apple scab at all? Seen the leaves start to change color or anything? Or does it look okay?
It still seems to look okay. A lot of what we face is we've done okay in the past couple of years on the fungal part. It's more so the bugs getting into it.
Yeah.
Ants and whatever. We did buy the Captain Jack's. I think it's the neem oil we have.
Right, right. That's good stuff. For that sort of thing, you're okay. You know, the other thing that people do in apple trees is they hang a couple traps. They hang a trap for the apple maggot and for the coddling moth. And it's a what we call pheromone trap. So the pest thinks it's coming to mate, and then it gets caught in something, and then it can't get out, and now that won't bother the apple. Do you have any trouble with worms or anything in the apples? Because that would be a coddling moth or especially apple maggot.
I'll have to check. It seems like every year it's
something.
It just depends. Yeah, I mean, mostly in the past it seems to have been ants, but I'm going to have to go out and check. I know with the recent storms, naturally, some of the apples have fallen down to the ground, and the deer are loving that part of it.
Basically, there's a program that you follow. And so if you're not having issues with fungal issues, that's great. You don't have to worry about that if it still has leaves at the end of the season. Secondly, are these pest problems, these apple maggots and coddling moths, are usually worse off than the ants. I'll tell you what, the other thing for ants, that diatomaceous earth is the number one thing for ants. If they crawl on that diatomaceous earth, that's it. They're done. And it's something that you could put on a food crop that couldn't harm you, that you could just rinse off and there's no residuals on there. So that's something to think about also for the ants. Do you know what kind of apple it is? Are you able to harvest them and enjoy them?
Years ago when we were able to keep up with it, we were. Right now, like I said, they're small and greenish in color.
Right.
We had an old timer in the neighborhood who knew, and it's past my memory of
right.
what he did say it was, and with
still very early, for the apples. Hopefully, you can keep the bugs off them, and you'll be harvesting. Usually, we start seeing apple harvest in September into October.
No, I appreciate that. And just one other quick question.
Di, I got to put you on hold because I got to get to this break for the news. I'll let Doug answer that question on the other side of the news. So you stay right there and we'll get right back to you. Jim and Apollo, we'll get to you as well. We have a couple of lines available, so give us a call. 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. Got news just minutes away, bottom of the hour with Rob, and then we'll be back with more with Doug. We've got that Janoski's gift card to give away as well. And we've also got some picnic ideas coming up next hour on the Coons Cooking Hour with Frank Dentici and me, all still to come today on KDKA. 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking to Troy Lampenfeld from Greater Pitt Tree Service. 9 o'clock hour, of course, after that, 10 o'clock, Accurate Solutions, and a special tribute edition of the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show, paying tribute to Dave Parker, 74 years of age, passing away as he is just weeks away from being enshrined into Cooperstown in baseball's Hall of Fame. Your Pratt Pack Sunday, KDKA. All right, 10th caller is going to win that gift certificate, $25 to Janoski's, where the first of the season sweet corn has arrived. All you need to do is be the 10th caller at 412-922-1020. Let's go to Diane. Diane, we're going to let you get that second question in here. Go ahead.
No, thanks, guys. So, Doug, with all this rain, can you recommend what are your two top picks for some fertilizers for the flowers and the garden. And I really appreciate you taking all my questions this morning.
Oh, glad to do it. So for containers, I would recommend like a liquid fertilizer, a liquid concentrate. There's one that I just absolutely love. It's called Dramatic with two M's. They sponsor the show, but I buy the stuff like you buy it. I don't want people to think that when I say Dramatic that I'm doing it because it's an ad. It's not an ad. It's what I use. And so, but there are lots of different liquid concentrates, meaning that you buy a bottle for like $20 and you mix it like 2 tablespoons per gallon of water. If you have anything in a container, it needs fertilized. It needs fertilized just about every time you water. Now, for in the garden, for flowers, there's two that I really love. It's from a company called Espoma, and it's Flower Tone and Bloom Tone. It is formulated to make the things flower and bloom, basically. Flower Tone, Bloom Tone. They have a whole series. They have, you know, Tree Tone, Tomato Tone. They're all specific to that plant, formulated for the plant. So Flower Tone, Bloom Tone for flowers. If you wanted something just general, the one that they have is either Garden Tone or Plant Tone. Either one of those two things will be fine for your general fertilization. And with those are granular. And so when you put those down, every time it rains, that it dissolves that fertilizer and it starts to go into the ground. And so those are my recommendations. All right, Rob, ready for another call?
I am ready for another call. Here is Jim in Apollo. Hey, Jim.
Hey, something's eating my zucchini plants. I believe it's a rabbit. Is there a spray I can spray them with to deter this?
Yes, it's called Hot Pepper Wax, and it's from a company called Bonide. And the interesting thing about it is that when you spray it on a plant, the rabbit can get the hot pepper, but we don't get the hot pepper flavor for some reason. Is there any chance you could fence that little bed also? Because that's going to help too.
Yeah, I guess I could. But what's interesting is the zucchini are right between my tomatoes and eggplant, and it's only eating the zucchini.
I would want to see that it was a rabbit for sure.
Might be a groundhog too, I guess.
If it's a groundhog, you're in trouble. You can't have a garden and have a groundhog. You're gonna have to figure out some kind of way to either probably trap it or have somebody trap it, live trap it, and get it out of there. But so groundhogs feed during the day, and rabbits feed just about any time. You should be able.
Well, this is.
Go ahead.
This is a night feeder.
Then it's probably a rabbit. You're probably right. I would want to be out there at the very end of the day and just kind of quietly sneak up into the garden. And if you see that little guy run out, you know for sure what it is, or first thing in the morning. But for now, what I do until I can fence out that area, I'm using that hot pepper wax. And I'm sure there's other rabbit repellents too. I use one for deer called Bob-X, but they also have a like rabbit and deer spray. If you go to your local nursery around there, they'll have something for you, you know, if you can't find the hot pepper wax that will give okay. give you a little bit of leeway so that when the best thing to deal with these kind of problems is a physical barrier is that just chicken wire, and rabbits are pretty easy to fence out. So otherwise garden is going good.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
So the groundhogs can do a lot of damage.
Right? Oh, man. There's nothing worse than a groundhog. You might think deer are bad. You might think rabbits are bad. You might think cabbage worms are bad. But a groundhog, and I often people will say, well, they feel, I don't mind sharing. Well, you'll mind sharing when the groundhog just takes one bite of a tomato. That'll drive you nuts. You know, just that one little nibble. And so you can fence out a groundhog, but you need a special type of fencing. The fence has to go down into the ground. It has to have like a 90-degree angle underneath the ground. And then going up, it has to be about 3 foot tall and then loose at the top. Because a groundhog's a professional digger, a professional climber. And so when it climbs up, you keep it loose and it kind of falls back and the groundhog gets scared. And when for underneath that 90 degree angle, the groundhog will go right to the angle and try and dig through that. It won't go back. It doesn't, right. It's not smart enough. And so, yeah, groundhogs are a terrible issue. And I'm lucky I have not had them in years.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
All right. They're listening to the show right
oh,
now.
Oh, I know they are.
Let's go to Anna in Monroeville. Hey, Anna, how are you?
Hi. Well, I'm frustrated. <Uh-oh>. I heard you at the beginning of the program to say, you know, everything can be solved and calm down. Okay. Well, Davy Tree is not there, but you probably can help me with this. I had a huge locust tree and I had it cut down because it was just limbs flying all over the place with all these winds and everything. Now I have sprouts of
yes.
locusts.
Yeah.
Everywhere on the whole property. I'm yeah. assuming that this was a whole forest of locust trees.
No. What's happening there is the plant is it's all from the roots that were there, and so the plant is trying to stay alive, even though it was cut. They are so tough that all those sprouts are coming from whatever the root structure was left, and so. Here's what to do while they're little like that and while they're soft and tender. Either yeah. have somebody or you with a string trimmer or a lawnmower and just keep after them all season long, and eventually you'll exhaust those roots. The roots are fed by the top, and this is not going to be overnight. You know, a locust tree, it's a weed, basically. It is it's a weed. It's hard to stop.
Yeah.
But every time you see one of those things, it needs to be cut. And what will happen is the roots will continue to try and push those out until they don't. There's no energy left in the roots. So can you make that part of your like lawn mowing?
Well, what I had been doing was cutting them off
and
putting a little bit of Roundup on it. I've never used Roundup. I'm getting desperate. But
the Roundup's not going to help. Okay.
Okay.
And either is a organic herbicide. They're not going to do much for you. The cutting off, that continual top cutting is everything. And we're probably talking, are we talking thousands of little shoots coming up or hundreds?
Oh, yes.
Everywhere.
And now it's in my garden. It's in my, but the most frustrating thing is it's in my asparagus patch.
Oh, that's not good.
And no. And so that's.
For the asparagus patch, you're going to have to be especially careful. You're going to have to go in there by hand. I know this is not what you want to hear, but for that asparagus patch, before those fronds can be removed when they turn brown, which is months away,
yes,
you're going to have to get in there and snip those locusts. That's the entire root system. But right off the bat, the plant, after it was cut down, the plant is panicking. It's panicking like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. I need to procreate. I need to add more. And that's why it's in this panic mode. And so cut as much as you can, as often as you can, and do that this entire season, and you'll win you'll win the battle. Okay?
I'll win.
There's no other solution.
Sometimes I can pull it out and get a part of a thicker part.
Right.
Comes out.
Anything you can do to remove that new growth and make that tree struggle is going to help you. And it's not going to be forever, but it's not going to be overnight. It's going to take a while. And I understand you being frustrated, but remember what I said. Remember what I said at the top of the show.
Right. Right.
It's a first world problem, and don't let it drive you nuts, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your call.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let me get out of here for a quick break. We'll come back, wrap it up. We have some lines available, so if you want to sneak in here and get a question answered, now would be a great time to call. 866-391-1020. Rob Taylor at 8 o'clock with the news. And then picnic favorites getting ready for the 4th and our giant two-day sale, July 2nd and 3rd at Coons Market on the Coons Cooking Hour. We're going to take another call before we say so long to Doug and he heads fishing for the day. Let's say hi to Ginger in Latrobe. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. How are you today?
Good, good. I was wondering if you might be able to help me out with a problem I have in our yard with, I think it's a skunk. I saw it once, but every time I plant anything, it like digs it up and leaves it on the side. I mean, it doesn't eat it. It just like digs it up and out.
Is it digging up like the lawn and stuff? A skunk is going to be after grubs.
No. It's like mainly in all my mulched areas. And if I plant anything new, I mean, there's holes. I'm assuming it's a skunk. I mean,
I don't know. It could be other things too. Are there deer out there?
Oh yeah, plenty of deer, but
rabbits.
You know, yeah, but some of the holes I saw, they're small. There might be chipmunks. Okay, granted.
Yeah.
But now I've got a lot of big. I mean, it's not the chipmunks holes.
Well, here's what I would do.
Okay.
I would go to your garden center there near Latrobe and get one of these spray repellents. It'll be about $20 and use that for now until you figure out what's doing the actual digging. You need to see it. You need to see what's doing it. Once you figure that out, then you can specifically target that pest. Now, here's a little hint that I think you'll get. You don't want to catch a skunk.
I couldn't figure that one out. No,
that's why you called. That's for your professional advice. And no charge on that one. The last thing you want to do is catch a skunk. But I don't think it's the skunk doing it, because they're not interested in the plants. They're interested in grubs, and they kind of like, it's usually in a grassy area, and they just tear the whole thing up at night. The other thing to ask is do you know if this is happening during the day or during the night?
During the night.
All right. So,
and I had a pot of flowers, you know, just a regular 2 feet, you know, pot, and they knock the pot down. Don't eat the flowers. But they've knocked that pot down and dispersed the flowers and the dirt.
When I hear the pot knocked over, that sounds like deer trying to eat the flowers and then they accidentally knock the thing over. I would get an animal repellent. I would start off with an animal repellent, and then which one of you two is going to stay up all night to watch the flowers?
Yeah, I've got to get my camera out or something.
Yeah.
Trail cam or something.
That would help. The other thing, when it's dry, the one thing you can do is you can put out some flour, and then you'll know what the footprints are, and that will tell you again exactly what this thing is that's doing this. But when is it going to be dry again? That's the question. Yeah. I just saw Ron Smiley on the TV talking about rain here the next couple days, so. That's another thing to think about. Some way to identify those footprints will tell you what that pest is and driving you absolutely nuts. Until that happens, get that animal repellent. Spray it on there. It's going to smell bad for a couple days once you spray it, but it's going to do a great job at keeping your plants safe until you can figure this thing out.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I might try that flower thing. That's a good idea.
All right. Good luck on that.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Pepe, those pests are a
Pepe
problem.
Pepe Le Pew. All right. Now, you got about a minute and a half. Just fill us in on everything that's good in your world.
Oh, what's good in my world is like everybody else's world, except for those battling pests. And That can drive you nuts. Rabbits, deer, groundhogs, chewing insects, all of it. I understand when people just want to give up because the day that you come out and, you know, all that work you've done and then you lose something. But this is part of the process. This is part of what we do as gardeners. And the positives are, like in my garden, last year the deer got in there when I wasn't around and ate half the lilies. This year they didn't get in, and so I get to see my lilies. I have a giant, old-fashioned heirloom lily called Golden Splendor that is, by the time I get home today, it's going to be in full bloom. It's so big that I've got it staked at 6 feet, and it's another 4 feet above that, and the buds are so big that they're pulling the plant over. I'm just, you know, it made it through that rain yesterday. What I've had happen with my lilies is they've gotten so big because of this rain and because of this weather that some of them are just cracking off. The buds are too big. You know, this is during a storm, and so then they become cut flowers, and they last quite a while in a vase, and that fragrance. That's one of the reasons we garden. I know sometimes it can be difficult, especially midsummer, trying to figure out what these problems are. But try to enjoy the good things in the garden when you can. Now, I am taking people to Italy and southern Italy and Sicily. If you would like to come with me, all the information is at DougOster.com. Like I was talking about earlier about Ireland, that was a guy that ran my tour in Ireland, and we became good friends. Just go to DougOster.com, and you can see what I'm doing and where I'm doing it and how you can come with me. Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, so Doug's gone fishing. Coming up after the news at 8, we're going to tell you about our giant two-day sale, July 2nd and 3rd, Coons Market, just in time for the 4th. Picnic ideas, plans, and more. So stay where you're right with us today on KDK for more of your Pratt Pack. Stay with us.